Welcome to Business Resolutions, a weekly discussion about business in Puerto Rico with Jorge Gonzalez, attorney and management consultant.
Welcome to Business Resolutions, and my guest today is Bob Lease. With Bob, we could really cover the history of shipping in Puerto Rico. I was laughing when he told me the story. He brought out a draft of a book that he's putting together, and I was laughing with Bob. That question somebody was invariably asking in terms of interviewing a prospective CEO for this company was, if you were going to write a book about your life, what would it be called and why? And Bob has the answer to that, right, Bob?
You're right, Jorge. Yes, I have the answer.
What would be the title of your book and why?
Well, I'm looking at the cover right now. In Spanish, it's El Último de los Expertos, the last of the experts.
And why? Where does this expert and what this title come from?
Well, years ago, in my younger years, there was radio was tops in Puerto Rico. There was no TV, and consequently, I formed part of a radio program that was on the radio for 5 years. As part of a block of four programs from 12 to 2. And it was a question.
What, 90% of Puerto Rico listened to this program?
Yes, it was. Because everybody listened to radio and everybody driving home for lunch, because at that time the merchants all closed their stores from 12 to 2. Everybody went home and had a good lunch and then a little siesta. And then, so consequently.
You had a 15-minute.
Yes, we had the 15-minute segment was from 12:30 to 12:45, and the program was sponsored by Corona Beer, which at that time they had about 70% of the market. The same Corona Beer, which now is made in Mexico, because Corona and the owner of Corona was James Stewart, he had the worldwide patent registered. So Corona in Mexico could not hit the United States market until Corona went out of business. And then they made a deal with the people of the Corona beer in Mexico, and that's why Corona was able to come in. I'll tell you a quick story there. The gentleman that made the negotiations was Mr. Morales, and he came back and he got a block of money. He was telling how happy he was, and I told him there was a bum deal. He said, why? I says, all you had to do was take a slight sum of money and tell him that give me a nickel or dime or 20 cents on every can or bottle of beer that was sold in the United States. You get a deal like that for 20 years, you'd probably make about 10 times the amount of money. But you went to Mexico and you got fascinated with that chunk of money, and that chunk of money could have been three or four chunks. But anyway.
But anyway, so the program was called, what was the name of that program?
In Spanish, it was El Desafiando los Expertos en Deporte, Defying the experts, stump the experts,
the sport experts.
Stump the sport experts.
And you were one of the experts.
Yes, Fidel Cabrera was one of the top master of ceremonies in Puerto Rico. And then we had Emilio Heike. Emilio Heike was a genius. He was the son of Juan B. Heike. And at that time and later on TV, he was one of the TV and radio writers. He wrote all the novelas, all those novels. He was the one. Then we had Luis Rigual, who was a genius also. He was a civil engineer working for the Department of Public Works. And I guess they brought me on board because being supposedly a North American, but I had knowledge of the Puerto Rican sports and the United States sports, so I kind of made way. But we had, for 5 years, we were on radio and later three on TV, and we had a batting average of .750 for the 5 years on radio.
Basically, Emilio Heike would choose questions provided by
Fidel
Cabrera.
Yeah, Fidel.
He would choose the questions based on submissions by the different listeners.
That's right. The radio sent the people sent
questions that were interested and they thought would stump you.
Yeah, and of course, we even had a policeman came to the radio station one day or he went to the advertising firm and he followed Fidel even to the. For the post office, and he selected the questions for that day. Thank the good Lord that day he picked 10 questions and we answered 10. So he went back to Corozal and he told the people in Corozal that he was a witness that we did not see the answers prior to being.
Right, what was the 10th question that was going to make or break this 100%?
The 10th one, they asked us what was the name of the four horsemen of Notre Dame, which was the backfield for the University of Notre Dame, who that year they went undefeated. And, of course, Emilio did not know it, and neither did Luis Rigual. He said, well, Bob, it's up to you. Well, luckily, I had followed being a fan of Notre Dame because I studied 8 years in the School of Notre Dame and put the theater, and I've always been a fan of Notre Dame, being an Irish Catholic. So anyway, yes, I named Harry Stuhldreher at that time, and there was Elmer Layden. And then there was Miller, and then there was Crowley. So all
not,
four.
Not only naming them, but you knew where they were at
particular
time.
I knew Stuhldreher at that time was the coach at the University of Wisconsin, and Elmer Layden was the coach at Notre Dame, and the other one was some other place. Yeah, I knew where they were because I followed them.
Yeah, and you still know, and you still know.
Oh,
you
yeah,
got incredible.
Yeah.
You had this incredible memory.
I was happy with Notre Dame this year when they went. When they went undefeated, and I also went to Yankee Stadium when they played at Yankee Stadium, Notre Dame played Army. One fabulous game because it was the first time a Notre Dame played at the new Yankee Stadium. And that was one big day when they opened up, and when that Notre Dame Army, and that Notre Dame band opened up and with that and marched into Yankee Stadium, it doesn't get any better than that.
In terms of your family arriving in Puerto Rico, because you are one of many in Puerto Rico that feel completely comfortable as a Puerto Rican and as a North American, and can go back and forth the languages and the culture and feel completely comfortable in both cultures.
Yeah.
How did your family come to Puerto Rico?
Well, Harry, my dad went overseas on the Yankee division out of Boston. Because I was born in Boston, so was my dad. And when he come back, of course, everybody at that time was taking civil service examinations. And he got gassed in World War I. And the veterans that were taking civil service examination were given 15% added on to the exam. So my dad took one for immigration inspector. And I guess with the 15%, he got an appointment. And when you fill out the application, he told me, you'd say, would you serve anywhere in the world? And you never say no. You say, yes, yes, I'll serve anywhere in the world. So the man in Boston told him that he was being assigned to San Juan, Puerto Rico for 6 months temporary duty. So the guy on the other side, he asked the man, where's Puerto Rico? He says, I don't know. He says, I'm just reading what they told me to tell you. So my dad landed in Puerto Rico 2 weeks after San Felipe hurricane, which was September 1928.
Wow, and you're telling me that his temporary residence, but is that the old YMCA?
I was the board of director
of that institution.
My dad stayed down here one full year. At the end of the year, he got a 3 months leave, and they went back to Boston and brought the family down in September, July of 1929. And I was a 6-year-old lad at that time, making my own decision, so I decided to come with the family. So I landed here in 1929, 6 year olds.
Okay, well, let's take a break. We'll be right back. I'm with Bob Lease, Puerto Rico Shipping Line, a sporting fan with the Pabellón de la Fama and the Chamber of Commerce, a man of many, many talents. We'll be right back after this break.